light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Well, our brother Joseph Chesser, he lives now in Missouri, and he's also lived in Arkansas, probably a dozen other places. He's been on a lot of missions. He's a dear friend of mine. I've been knowing him for about 33 years or so. Probably can attest to that. He's probably almost all of my married life. And he's been a dear friend and a brother. He's been a teacher. And our hearts are knit together as Jonathan and David. So much love that we have for each other. I think he can say the same thing, but he is a minister that some of you have met before, and I'm going to introduce you to some tonight as well. He used to be the minister at the Crowder Boulevard Church of Christ in the early 90s, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he has since moved to Missouri, and he has been a minister of the church up there in Missouri as well. And if you let him tell it, he's retired. Brother Joe Chesser.
Retired, huh? That just means you're tired again, right? Well, thank you, Emmett. I have met some folks from Louisa Street, and I know from Chalmette, right? Where else are you from there tonight, besides Franklin? Well, we're glad to have our visitors tonight, and glad to have each of you who've chosen to be here tonight. Thank you for being here on a Monday night, a work day. And most times, work days are tiring days, so you're retired also. After working all day, you get tired again. But here you are, sitting in the church building tonight, and I just hope you don't relax too much and doze off. No, seriously, I'm glad that you're here. But my question for you as we begin is why? Why are you here? You know, if I was to point around and ask you to tell me why you're here, I'd get a lot of different answers probably. Perhaps somebody is here tonight under pressure, that they were kind of threatened. If you don't go to church tonight, you're going to, you know, do something. Maybe not any of you here tonight, but that is certainly a reason why some people are in church, because of pressure. Some of you may be here out of curiosity. Just who is this guy that's up here speaking, you know, and what's he going to say and what's he like and so on. But I suspect that most of you, I thought he was going to bring me that fan. No, I don't need a fan. I suspect that most of you are here, if not all of you here, and I certainly hope all of you here for this reason, because of love. Because you love Jesus. You love Jesus?
Yes, sir.
All right. Not many do, but one did. All right, you love the church, the people of God, that's who we are. You love being in the presence of God. Oh, yes. Do you love the Word of God? Mm-hmm. That's why you're here. At least I assume that, because you are here on a Monday night. But did you notice how I kind of used those words, love. Love of God, love of Jesus, love of the church, love of His presence, love of His Word. That leads us into what we're going to talk about tonight, and that is to light up the world with love. This week, our theme has been Light Up the World from the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that we are to shine as lights in the world. I couldn't help but think it's interesting that during this time of shining as lights in the world, we have an eclipse. But anyway, clouds covered it, it doesn't matter. But even in clouds, we are to shine like stars, some translations say, like stars in the universe. Love is a powerful force. I believe that love is the most powerful four-letter word in the English language. And it's also a powerful word in Scripture. It's over 600 times, or right around 600 times in the English Standard Version. I haven't counted them or looked at how many other translations, but pretty much the same. In the New Testament, the word love is there 231 times. The problem, and there's a problem with that, the problem is there are different concepts of what love is. And in the Greek language, it kind of clarifies some of that. But in the English language, we don't have that clarification. The word love just covers just about all kinds of love that there is in English. Whereas in the Greek language, there's just all kinds of different aspects of love. But we use the word love to talk about, well, just things that we like or things that we prefer. I was thinking as I was making this lesson, being here in New Orleans and having lived here a few years back, I remember how people of New Orleans loved the Saints. New Orleans Saints was a special thing. I remember how people of New Orleans loved Cajun food. I didn't before I came, but I did when I left. And we had no idea how to cook Cajun food when we came, but before we left. My wife makes a really good bread pudding. I don't know if that's Cajun or not, but we learned that here in New Orleans. I know how people in New Orleans love their music, jazz and blues. Anybody in New Orleans like country music? Or is it just jazz and blues? I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? We love these things. We love a football team. We love food. We love music. We love sleep. We love reading. We love summertime. We love neighbors. We love our husbands or wives. We love our children, our friends, our neighbors. We even know that a lot of people use the word love to justify some kind of illicit sexual relationship. Well, you know I love you. We also know people who claim to love Jesus, who have no concept of what they're saying. What do they mean when they say they love Jesus? Well, the good news, like I said earlier, is that in the Greek language, there's some specific clarifications of what this word love in English refers to. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the kind of love that Jesus brought to this world. Because that's the kind of love that lights up the world, that makes a difference in the world, that people see that this is something unique, something that's different from everybody else. You know the passage of Scripture in John 3:16, "For God so love the world." What's the next word? What's the next word? God so loved the world. Not the rest of the words, just the next word. That. I mentioned in another lesson yesterday that a preacher I used to listen to once in a while, an older preacher, said, we need to read the familiar more closely. John 3:16 is probably one of the most familiar verses to people. But I want you to think about, what does the word that mean? We talk about God's love. We talk about, you know, how Jesus was sent by God to die for those who, and give them eternal life. But what does that word, that, mean? So I ask you again, when you say God so loved the world, that, what does it convey to you? If you just stop right there and think, what does it convey to you? It means that love has to have some action. Love is not just an internal feeling, a warm, fuzzy thing. Love, for God so loved the world that, and that implies then the rest of the verse that compelled him, God's love compelled him to do something. God's love compelled him to send his son Jesus. So we're going to look at that for just a second. God's love compelled him. Agape is the Greek word. You've heard that before, I'm sure. Agape requires an active response. It's not just a belief. It's not just a nice feeling. Agape love is a mental decision. It's a choice that every one of us makes all day, every day. It's not just an occasional, once in a while type of decision. Agape love is always, always has been, always will be, a specific decision to do something. For God so loved the world that he did something. Agape love compels us to do something. In this case, God loves the world so much that he decided to send Jesus to save the world. He chose to send Jesus at just the right time. He chose, and by the way, it wasn't just a fleeting thought. His decision to send Jesus at this particular time was a decision way back before even the creation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that. So he so chose to send Jesus at just the right time. He chose to send Jesus to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's kind of a concept of love. Love is the decision to do something for someone else. Love is the decision to do something good for someone else. Our next slide says Jesus, this is in Philippians chapter 2, and this, by the way, is one of the passages that you can wrestle with. You can talk about. I don't think we can ever fully understand what it means that Jesus gave up equality with God to the extent that he did. But the concept is Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to give up equality with God, though he was in the form of God. He did not count that equality with God as a thing to be grasped, to be held on to. It wasn't selfish. It wasn't just about Jesus or love is not just about me. But he emptied himself. And the extent of that emptiness went all the way to becoming human, but not just human. To become a servant, not just a servant, to go to the cross, to die. The extent of love. When you read God so loved the world that he sent his only son, from the son's standpoint, he also chose to do this because of love. God did not send Jesus. Jesus emptied himself and chose to come. I mean, he sent him, yes, it's all part of the plan of God, but Jesus had to make that decision also himself. Jesus allowed himself to take on the form of a servant by being born in the likeness of humanity. You talk about love. We don't know anything about love that's greater than that. You know, I found this a few weeks ago. Obviously, it's a kid's drawing. And it says, I used to think love was shaped like this and have these hearts. And we did that earlier, right? I mean, we shape love in the shape of hearts because that's a symbol for us of what love is. But this kid said, but actually it is shaped like this, like a cross. I thought that was compelling too. If we're to light up the world, Jesus wants us to know that one of the very essential things that we must choose to do is to learn to love the world like God loves the world, like He loves the world. That doesn't mean we like what's going on in the world. God doesn't like what's going on in the world either, but He does love the world, regardless of all the evil and all the wicked things that's surrounding us. God still loves the world. There's nothing that can keep God from loving the world, it tells us in Romans 8. Nothing. And that's agape love, because God is not loving us because of what we do or who we are or how much money we have or anything like that. God loves us because He has chosen to love us. It's His decision, and nothing we can do is going to change His decision to love us. Now, if we learn to love like that, that's going to change our lives. It's going to change the lives of our families. It's going to change the life of the church. It's going to change the life of those around. It's going to be a light to this world that they cannot refuse to look at. It's just going to be so bright. Second, 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Now, tell me what's one thing you do that doesn't come under that. One thing. What's one thing you do that doesn't come under, let all you do be done in love? It's not just talking about loving your family or loving those who love you. It's talking about how you treat, how you think about, how you evaluate people and see them through the eyes of love and not through any other means. That everything I do and see and think about is love, because God loves me and wants me to love like that. So I want to remind you tonight that if you truly want to light up the world, if you truly want to reflect the image of Jesus in your neighborhood or at your work or school or wherever you go, one thing you cannot overlook is to demonstrate to the world agape love. You're familiar with what Jesus said. Remember the guy who came to Jesus and he said, well, what's the greatest command? And Jesus says, well, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, there's nothing greater than these two. Love in those verses is agape love. To love, to choose to love the Lord your God with every part of your being, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you first choose to love God with every part of your being, and then you choose to love everybody else. Love your neighbor and yourself. Jesus tells us that this is one of the many reasons why God wants us to love agape love. And I say that because Jesus, when He came to this world, He came not only to be our Savior, but He came to show us the very best way we can possibly live in this world and then to prepare for the eternal world. He gave us a form of love a definition of love, an example of love that totally is different from any other kind. All those kind of loves we talked about earlier, about loving football teams or loving food or travel or sleep, those are different kinds of loves. Those are common loves. You don't have to be in Christ to love those way. Now, it helps, but you don't have to be. You know people who love their family who are nothing like a Christian. But Jesus said, a new command do I give you. He says that you love, agape love, love one another, each other. That's you on this side loving those on this side, right? Those in the front loving those in the back. Those who are old loving those who are young. Love one another just as I have loved you. Now, we can't understand how to love each other until we first understand how Jesus loves us. We've been talking about that. So based upon the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to us, he says, I want you to take this and I want you to adopt that kind of thinking about love. That, to me, is what he's talking about. I want you to shine as lights. Earlier in this series of lessons in our Bible class Sunday morning, we talked about how Jesus wants us. He said, I'm the light of the world, and I want you to become children of light. And the way to do that, at least one of the ways to do that, is to learn to love like Jesus loves. The question... We have to be honest with ourselves. The question is, am I doing that? It's so easy to look at other people and say, well, my wife is loving me, but I don't love her. Usually it's the other way around, but sometimes that works that way. You know, I love my children, but they sure disrespect me sometimes. But that's not the kind of love he's talking about. Now, we are to love our husband and wife and children and everybody with the kind of love Jesus has, but the world's understanding of love is just, the phileo love is, I love you because you love me, or I love you because we're family, or I love you because there's sexual relations in this. But Jesus says, there's something better than that. And you know what? Love like that does not come accidentally. Never accidentally. It's always a deliberate decision. Now, you may get to the point where you think that way so much that you don't really have to make a deliberate decision every time, and that's good. That's an ideal. But you can't just accidentally fall into loving like Jesus loves. It's a decision you must make, and it's a daily decision, an hourly decision, a moment-by-moment decision. Because as circumstances change around us, we have to decide, how are we going to handle these situations? And the only way, Jesus says, to handle them is through agape love. So the love that Jesus brought to the world is so different from the world that if we understood it, it would be like a bright candle in a black cave. A dark cave. It could not be missed. By this, and here's how we get into the lighting of the world concept of this lesson. By this, by the way you love one another, he says, all people, everybody around you, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Sometimes we are not letting our light shine because of the way we fail to love one another. And Jesus wants us to turn that around. Last year, Ariva and I spent some time in Austria, and we were able to work with refugees from Iran who were fleeing from Islam, trying to find freedom because they believe in Jesus. They hadn't become Christians, many of them hadn't yet. But they learned that Jesus teaches something different from what they were experiencing in Islam. One of the refugees we talked to was a 23-year-old young lady who fled at the spur of the moment from the college library because she had a Bible in her room and the police were searching her room, and she knew she could not go home. She did not say goodbye to her parents. She did not pack a bag. She left. 23 years old, young lady, and she made it all the way to Austria. Austria was very receptive to these kinds of refugees. And one of the reasons why she was willing to do that in such a sacrifice for her was because sometime earlier, and I don't know the full timeline of how this all happened, but at one point her sister, when they were growing up, they hated each other. They were, you know, just like Islam. They were fussing and fighting and accusing and not trusting anyone. But her sister left Iran and became a Christian. And Daria had an opportunity to meet her sister in a neutral place that didn't, you know, require escaping at night or whatever. Just she could meet her. And when she saw her, she saw such a difference. She saw her sister who loved her, who was kind to her, who forgave her, who was totally the opposite of what she once was. And she said, I've got to find out why. She got a hold of a Bible, started reading, and she saw why. And so when the police were finding a Bible in her room, she knew, I can't stay here anymore. She had to leave. But what difference did it make? She saw in her sister the light of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ. And it was so appealing to her. She was willing to give up everything she had back home and escape from home to find that truth, that experience, that kind of life. And she was. She was baptized there in Austria. It's an amazing story, but you know what? Every one of the refugees had the same story with just different facts. They all gave up things because they saw in Jesus something that was different from what they were living in at home. And they were willing to sacrifice. And that experience for us, for Reeve and me, changed our lives. We had never been around people who had sacrificed so much. But the thing that drew them was the light of the gospel and the light of love in those who are now Christians. Now think of how much brighter this world would be, how much brighter your family would be, how much brighter this church would be, how we would shine so that people could see by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You don't treat each other. You know, it's not just the love and how you respond to each other, but you go the extra mile. You know, you love your enemies. You love those who try to persecute you and hate you. You won't find that anywhere but in Jesus. And that's what shining as lights in this world of darkness does for those who are in Christ. It shows the world a kind of love that is so bright, they can't miss it. They may not want it, but they can't miss it. Because love lights up this dark world. Let's go on to the next slide. And since I said this is a group of lessons from Philippians, we got to go to Philippians, right? Paul loved the church at Philippi, and this is where I got this concept and this point. Open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read 4 and 5 and then 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and then verses 7 and 8. Here Paul writes to this church, because of your partnership, and I'm reading from the ESV, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Wait a minute. I backed up. I started at 5 instead of 4. At 4 says, let's go back to verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. I always wondered how Paul found time to pray for everybody he said he prayed for. You know, it's amazing. Every book you read, he says, I pray constantly for you. I pray constantly for you. Hey, I had to spend hours in prayer every day for the people he tells that he's praying for them. And here he says, every prayer of mine remembers you because you worked with me. We have a partnership. We have a share of a love. Now let's drop down to verses 7 and 8. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I hold you in my heart. I yearn for you. I want to be with you. I love you, is what he's saying. Always in every prayer of mine, my prayers with joy because I think of you. He says, I hold you in my heart. I yearn for you all, the affection of Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 12, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. In verse 12, he says, therefore, my beloved. Beloved is another form of the word of agape. You are people that I love. In chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brother whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. And in verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. This is chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share in my troubles. And then he says in 15 and 16 of chapter 4, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Paul loved the Philippian church, and the Philippian church loved Paul. And evidence is this throughout this short little book. So what kind of influence do you think was generated between Paul and the Philippian church? What kind of influence do you think that people saw? You know, Paul talked about in Philippians that the gospel went throughout the Caesar's household. What kind of light do you think that mutual love that they shared together was shedding in Caesar's household? What kind of light do you think their mutual love generated in the city of Philippi? What kind of light do you think their mutual love generated among the brethren who traveled through Rome or through Philippi and heard about and saw the kind of love that they had for each other? So, yeah, the second principle lighting up the world is to light the world with love. Light the world with love. I don't know how much this congregation loves each other. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know because I can just speak the truth and not have to worry about offending somebody, right? You know, sometimes we get offended at the truth. That's a shame. Shouldn't be, but we do. But I don't know how much you love each other. But I do know how much God says we are to love each other. And there are no exceptions. You have to love everyone in Christ, in the church. Love one another. Look in chapter 2 of Philippians. He says, let each of you, this is verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind in you. that's also in Christ Jesus. You need to learn to think like Jesus, he's saying, in your relationships with each other. So I challenge you to look at your life. Look at your relationships with each other. Look at your relationship with Jesus. Do you see the kind of love he's talking about here in this book? The way you love the Lord, the way you love each other, the way you treat each other, the way you talk about each other among yourselves and to outsiders creates a strong opinion of either positively or negatively about this congregation and its love for Jesus and love for each other. And the deeper our presence of the Lord God is in our hearts, the deeper that presence is in us, the more we are enabled to let our light shine to this world. Loving each other is the way Jesus loves us, and it's one of the best ways that we shine our lights in this world. Have this mind. Think like this. And ask yourselves, am I doing that? Do I think like Jesus in regard to love and in every other way? But tonight we're focusing on love. Do I think like Jesus when it comes to loving each other? So when it comes to that, where are you tonight? For most of you, I believe it, you're here because of love. In one degree or another, you're here because you love the Lord, you love God, you love the church, you love His presence, you love His Word. But you can love those more, right? That's a wonderful thing about love. There's no limit. There's no minimum. There's no limit. You choose to love, and God just increases that wonderful, wonderful power of love in you. The more you love, the more you will love. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "You are the light of the world." Now I want to ask you one other question. When you read that, and all of us know that, right? We know Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." How many times do we see the word "you" and think of me? Not me personally, but yourself. How many times do you put yourself in that verse? You are the light of the world. And I can point my fingers to every one of you. And Jesus is saying, you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You are the light of the world. You are. Because you are in Christ. And as a light, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't try to keep that reflection from brightening up the world around you. Put it on a stand so it can light everything. Do everything you can to not only be the light, but be an effective light that shines in the whole world. Now, how's that going to happen? There's one other point. Light has to shine in our hearts if it is to stand any hope of shining in our dark world. And that's why I've been trying to say over and over, trying to make it as personal to you as I possibly can, that first the light has to be in your heart. But when the light is in your heart, it needs to be growing and expanding and brightening up everybody around you. But you can't do that if you don't have His light in your heart. The task of letting your light shine is not an impossible task. If it were impossible, Jesus wouldn't ask us to do it. Because why would He ask us to do something we can't do? But He does, and He is. Every one of us can do it, and every one of us can do it tonight. We can make that decision tonight. If you're not in Christ, tonight is the night you need to be baptized into Christ and raised to newness of life so that your light can shine in the world. If you're in Christ, tonight's the night to make that decision, and I'm not going to hide my light anymore. I'm going to let the love of Jesus shine out of me everywhere I go. Now, that includes how you drive. That includes everything you do. But it's your decision. So, light up the world with love. And if you need the church's help, or if you want to become a Christian, now's the time to make that first decision so that you can make these other decisions. Put first things first. That means put God in your life first. Let Him be in your life. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Be born again in Christ. But to walk in newness of life and light. And we're going to sing a song, and if we can help you with your spiritual journey, please let us. Let's stand while we sing.
Oh, do not let the world depart. And close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight, not tonight,
not tonight.
Oh, why not tonight, not tonight,
not tonight.
Will
has come into the world, amen? Amen? And we have seen and beheld the glory of that light, Jesus the Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Thank you, Brother Joe, for that lesson. Thank you for unpacking it in such a way that it opens up our hearts and our minds to things that we may have never, ever thought about. But as we live, we learn, and we grow. And we go to do those things that God has called us to do. And we can always do better, amen? So while it is today, let us work the works of the day while it is day, that when God comes, there will be no excuses as to why our light hasn't been shining in this cruel, dark world. I want to thank those congregations who are visiting with us tonight. I can look out, and I don't want to miss any congregation at all. So if you will tell us the congregations that are here and where you're from. If you got a little light announcement, you can make that too at the same time before we have our closing song and our dismissal prayer as well. Tell me, I see Preston's from here, from Louisa, right? So Louisa's here. Do y'all have any kind of little announcements, anything y'all want to make? None? What other congregation we have here? I see Louisa. Who else we see? We see Chalmette, anything? Nope. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Anybody else I'm missing? Come on, help me out now. Right, Louise and Chalmette, and we have Franklin Street. Any announcements from Franklin Street? Announcement from Franklin Street is that this gospel meeting is going to be going on until Wednesday night, if it's God's will, every night at 7 o'clock p.m. The message of Christ is that we be the light of the world. If you can attend, once again, we'd love for you to come and be a part of us, this congregation, while we preach the gospel to the world, and even in our own world that's around us, that light might come into our lives and push back the darkness that that so besets each and every one of us, for we all sin and fall short of God's glory. And this is where it's at. This is where we get our encouragement, the ability to spur one another on in love and good works, right here through God's word. It's edifying, it's satisfying, it's glorifying, and it is eternal. We're going to sing one verse of 168. Yes, sir. Announcement from Franklin. What the brother said, an announcement from Franklin, is that we got some goodies back over there. The sisters and prepared. So stay a little while and let's get to know each other better than we did before, and enjoy those wonderful things they prepared. And we thank those ladies for preparing that as well. We're going to ask Brother Preston to close us in prayer after we sing one verse of hymn number 168. 168. I do so appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you so much. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep air. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Before I close out in prayer, I do have an announcement. I don't know if you know that the name of our street had changed. So we, Church of Christ, that meets on Johnny Jackson Jr. Boulevard. But I know it's going to be hard and difficult for people to forget Louisa. So I just want to let you know that. All right, let us pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for the great lesson about love. We know, Father God, that we must agape one another before we can agape the world. And we just thank you, Father God, for living in a place where we don't have to run and hide to worship you, run and hide to study your word. We just don't know how great we have it here in America to be able to freely go to worship and serve you. We ask, Father God, that you be with each one of us as we leave this place. Watch over us, protect us. Be with the snacks that was prepared and bless those that prepared it. And be with our brothers and sisters, Father God, as under the care of a physician, that all will be well with them, that you will give them favor. And we ask that you continue to be with this gospel meeting, Father God, as we go forward, that we will come prepared with our minds, our hearts open to receive your word and then make the right applications to our lives. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.